It's printed on the back of your program in the center back panel. And today's reading is from Matthew, the second chapter. And I'll be reading verses 13 through 23. Listen for the word of our Lord. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in a place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Almighty God, on this day, look not at me, but look at me as someone who is an example of your grace, counting not my ability, but the love that you have for me. Forgive me of my sin, and keep me strong in faith, for you know that without you, I'm nothing at all. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You remember during the season of Advent, we had a table that was here. Hopefully you remember. It was only last week, right? And on this table, there was a wreath of greenery. And in that greenery, there were four purple candles. And in the center, there was a white candle. And we refer to that as the Advent wreath, and it's one of the traditions and the customs here at Tabernacle. And each one of those candles signifies some lesson that we have for that day. And so on the first Sunday of Advent, which happened to be December 1, we lit a single candle for hope. And the following Sunday, we lit a candle, and that candle was the candle for love. The third week of Advent, we had a candle that was the symbol for joy. The fourth week, just last Sunday, it was for peace. And then Christmas Eve, we lit that center candle because we were celebrating God's gift of the Christ child. And we focused on the incarnation, what it means for the Word to be made flesh and dwelling with us. And how is it through the season of Advent we approach and we grow? All of that leads us up to Christmas. Now, in our culture, in our community here in the United States, we typically think that Christmas is over once all the packages are open, once all the wrapping paper is put in the trash, once we have had our beast meal, roast beast as the Grinch would celebrate. We tend to think that once the 25th of December is here, that Christmas is over. Actually, the way that it was set up is that Christmas is the start. That December 25th is the start of the season of Christmas. You know the song, The 12 Days of Christmas? That starts the partridge in a pear tree on December 25th, and it goes for those 12 days, ending on the 6th of January, which is Epiphany. And Epiphany is where the eyes were opened, and we typically celebrate that that's when the Magi, or the wise men, made it to Bethlehem, and Jesus has moved out of the stable, and we're reading it in the scripture. He's now in a house. Mary and Joseph, they are the Holy Family. Now let's go back to our Western culture, okay, within our own traditions and the things that we like about Christmas time and we grew up with and we've come to expect. Gift giving, right? Particularly as kids, we know that Christmas is about what did you get from Christmas? What was your favorite gift? Those are our conversational starters that we have in the season. I want to propose to you, if we look at those candles, if we remember them, even though they're not present, let's try to bring them back into our life as we are going through the season of Christmastide. And I'd like to present that each one of those candles is a gift that God has for us, and it's a gift that we're going to give others as we go through the season of Christmas and into 2020. First candle, gift of hope. Hope is a gift from God. It is the dreams and visions and visitations that are shown. Joseph, one of the stars of our story, the gospel lesson today, has no less than four dreams or visitations, an angel of God speaking to him. Four times an angel comes to him. Now, maybe he was hard to get the lesson. Maybe it took four times for God to get his attention. But alas and alack, that aside, we know that it gave him hope to continue with all that he's going through. A little more about that later. Let's focus on the dreams. Now, I believe that dreams are a forgotten language of God. Dreams, as we hear and read in our Holy Scriptures, is how God speaks to people and gives warnings, and it's part of the visitation. We underestimate those dreams, particularly how vivid they are. In a visitation by an angel, and we would read that over in the Luke story, chapter 1, Mary is told that her life had a divine purpose. That vision helped Mary despite the disgrace of being a pregnant, unmarried girl. It helped her go on. Once overheard a teenager in a youth group that I had and just burst out, the hardest part about Christmas for Mary had to be explaining to her mother how she was pregnant. With all of the gossip and all of the stares that were coming on, Mary's vision gave her hope because she knew that the purpose of her pregnancy was going to bring hope to her nation and to the world. Second gift I'd like to focus on is the gift of love. Now that sounds like a song title. It sounds like a lot this or there, but let's focus on the gift of love. Joseph was betrothed to Mary. Now, betrothal is a legal and binding contract before God and the Jewish court. Now, while betrothed means more than being engaged, it doesn't give permission for the couple to move in together. They're not yet a family, even though Mary is with family. Joseph's duty under the law was to disavow Mary and to let the law take its course, and that would mean that she would be stoned to death. They liked capital punishment in those days, didn't they? But before he did that, Joseph received a word in a dream. A word that said, But Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. At Christmas, we celebrate a love that says, but Joseph. And there is no Christmas story without the love and forgiveness of Joseph. No love, no story. Now we know Joseph is not Jesus' biological father, but that didn't matter. He raised Jesus as a beloved son. Joseph loved Mary, so Jesus was his son. According to Jewish law, a child that was adopted is accorded all the legal rights of a biological child, even acquiring inheritance and property. But what we forget is that within the Jewish custom that there was to be no discussion or discernment about where that child came from. The requirement was to treat and that child as your biological own. Jesus was the child that Joseph and Mary would love together and raise together and welcome in this world together. That was the love that Joseph embraced as he held his newborn son. The gift of love helps us do the right thing when all the others around us say that it's the wrong thing. Love is a joyous gift from God. And we have to agree that love is what stayed Joseph's heart from going along and putting Mary to shame and possibly to death. Third gift I'd like to talk about is the gift of joy. If you have to judge by people's faces, some Christians have never even heard the word joy. Even with the biggest and the brightest, the newest and the best, the most extravagant gift, it's as if it's never enough to break a smile, to say thank you, or to understand that each gift is a blessing from the giver. It's not the gift, it's the blessing. And in a world in which we feel there are curses all around us, and troubles and struggles, temptations, and we are prone to fall into those temptations, aren't we? We need more blessing. The blessing is the gift, not the box or the present itself. The gift of joy. It relates to the blessings we receive from God. And so we glorify God with our enjoyment, with our joy. This reminds us to enjoy the gifts of God this Christmas. Well, let's also know that in 2020, God is going to be blessing us, and we should respond with joy. A gift of peace for that fourth candle. It was Jonathan Sacks, who was the former chief rabbi of England. He wrote, "The prophets of Israel were the first people in history to see peace as an ideal." An ideal. Prior to the prophets, peace was understood as the absence of war. And as you read the Holy Scriptures, you're going to find in the Scriptures that the world's first story is about peace. In the New Testament, we understand that peace is what comes into us. It gives us, well, the word's inadequate, but it's the best I could come up with. It gives us the calm to face all the turmoil and confusion that's around us. The inner peace is unique to Christian thought and is found in the roots of our Judeo-Christian tradition. To even conceive of the world of peace, we have to reach beyond our current realities and see horizons that are to come. That's why we also focus on Christ coming. Christ first coming and second coming, because we stand with faith and believe God is going to set the mess that you and I have made straight. And not just the mess that you and I have made, but the messes that others have made. Or what's going on that we don't even know who's the source of it. And it's not to blame, but it's to believe that God's peace will reign. Where does that start? It starts within us, within, if you want to use the word, our consciousness, our brain, our mind, or our heart, I don't care, but we know that it is so deep that this peace, this gift of peace, permeates through us. And these four gifts should focus us on the greatest gift of all, the gift of Christ. And so in our Advent wreath with those purple candles, there's that white candle that sits up, and we call that the Christ candle. We must, open ourselves to Christ's love this day in 2020. Folks, you know I'm serious about this. It's more than just modeling it for you that each time I pray for the forgiveness of my sins and ask that you pray for me as your pastor, it's more than just my saying, you know, I really can mess things up, and it takes God's grace to straighten it out. All of us need Jesus Christ and need the ongoing renewal that comes as He lives in us and through us. And so, folks, we're part of a great tradition that admit that we are sinners, but celebrate that because of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. In the whole story of the Bible, from Abraham to Zechariah, is that God wants to be in our lives. And He does that because Jesus Christ gives us a relationship, meets us, mends us, melds us with the divine. The gift of Jesus Christ. Isn't that why in Christmas we use the word, one of the divine names for Christ, Emmanuel, which means God with us? Will you receive the gift of Jesus Christ? Hope, love, joy, peace in Jesus Christ. Five gifts. This Christmas, we all need God's gift. Is your list complete? It's not too late to be blessed or to be a blessing for others. So here during these 12 days of Christmas, we're talking more than just a partridge and a pear tree. We're talking about Jesus Christ, our Savior, and how we can make him our Lord. Pray with me, please. O loving God, you sent Jesus Christ so long ago. You sent him to a dangerous time and a dangerous world. You sent your angels to prepare and to guide, even warning when danger and the threat of death was nearby. You guided the Holy Family into Egypt, and there they lived and they loved and then came back to Nazareth. Oh Lord, the story so long ago, what is sweet, we also know is full of hardship and heartbreak. Dear Lord, come to this time and help us to know all your gifts which are good. Bless us, but bless us for a purpose, and that is to bring about your peace in our families, in our community, and throughout this world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.